listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I was gonna kill a couple rappers, but they did it to themselves. Everybody's suicidal. They don't even need my help. This shit is elementary. I probably go to jail if I shoot at your identity and bounce to the left. Stuck a flag in my city. Everybody's screaming Compton. I should probably burn for mayor when I'm done. To be honest, I'll put that on my mama and my baby boo too. 20 million walking out the court building. Woo woo. Oh yeah, fuck the judge. I made it past 25 and there I was, a little nappy headed nigga with the world behind him. Life ain't shit but a fat vagina. Screaming, Annie, are you okay? Annie, are you okay? Limo tended with the gold play, straight from the bottom to the belly of the beast, from a peasant to a prince to a motherfucking king. Bitch, where were you when I was walking? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen King Kuta.
Mm-hmm. King, what's the yams? The yams mm-hmm. are the powers that be. We are live on a Saturday morning.
You know that ain't the right way. It's what's the yams? with a guitar.
What's the yams? We are live on a Saturday morning, ready to do feedback. The feedback episode of the show is when we talk about all the things that you had to say about what we talked about already throughout the week. How can you be part of the feedback show? Well, it's easy. You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, which nobody did this week. You sons of bitches.
Nobody?
Not a single person, Karen. I see none on iTunes.
Wow.
Right? It's like, who are we doing this show for, you know?
Wow. We see the numbers, and our iTunes reviews do not match them downloads.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. A lot of y'all coming here and eating all the fried chicken, all the greens, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. all the pork chops, telling all your friends, bringing them in here, too. Mm-hmm. Still the Martin Luther King fans act like we don't see y'all. Mm-hmm.
And then also, after we do comments on the website, theblackguywhotips.com, we'll read those. No voicemails this week. What else do we do? Oh, vote in the polls, leave comments, and you can email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. First and foremost, though, we want to give shout outs to the people that sent us some money.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new money. Let's talk about who donated. Preston F, appreciate you, Preston. Cedric W, appreciate you, Cedric. This one won't load. All right. Next one. Marcus E, thank you, Marcus.
Thank you.
Kenneth C, appreciate you. Calvin N, thank you. Gerard L. Deidre H, thank you, Deidre. This one is Jason F, thank you, Jason. Tyrone M, you better call him. This is in the wrong folder. All right, Terry W, thank you so much.
Yes.
Alexander M, we appreciate you.
We do.
Eric M, thank you so much. Attitude check.
Bronco Pride.
Come on through. Damian R, thank you. Jasmine A, appreciate you. Michael I, thank you so much. Waste Bees by Sewer, appreciate you. Mary H, thank you so much. Stefan H, no relation, but also just as thankful for you, Stefan.
Yes.
Ronald H, also a lot of H's today, a lot of H's. Jonathan W, appreciate you. Deborah O, thank you. Omot A, thank you so much. We'll see you over there. Yes. Janine R, appreciate you. Andy S, thank you so much. And that's everybody. Thank you, everybody that signed up, man. We appreciate y'all.
We do.
You know, y'all make this possible. When the people don't leave 5-star reviews, we still have the money.
All right.
The truth is,
I almost gave up a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower now.
Now, I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even though it hurts, see, I smile.
Yeah,
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hallelujah.
Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. Sure would hate to see you give up now.
Cause people,
you look so much better when you smile. can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're in right now,
smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
All right. Malinike, so I just saw yours. Thank you so much. Everybody took time out to donate. Like I said, you can go to theblackoutist.com and on the front page, on the right hand side, it's like, yo, you want to sign up and donate to the show one time, mm-hmm. recurring time, any amount is fine. We don't judge, and we appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. So
no, we don't judge on that, but what we do judge is all these folks up here using up all our power and sitting in our pews and eating up our food and coming to revival. Y'all know y'all was here last week doing children Bible study and stuff like that, but y'all can't leave us 5-star reviews. Yes, I'm talking to you and you. Yes, you don't want to just turn your head because you know I was looking directly into your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I'm gonna let that slide.
Mm-hmm. How you gonna come? All people be in our chats, okay? Like, they still ain't dropped a 5-star review. What's that about?
They coming to see us in a few months and they ain't left no 5-star reviews, dog.
How many people bought VIP tickets? I'm gonna be signing stuff, shaking your hands, possibly hugging y'all, or a pound, a handshake, whatever. Taking pictures with y'all, and then you gonna whisper in my ear, I ain't leave a 5-star review. Mm-mm-mm.
And it's free, y'all. It is absolutely free. It doesn't charge you a dime to leave us
just take a little
a
time
5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher.
All right, we got comments. Episode 1726, Chicago Ray. Anonymous says, I perfectly agree that there are so many useless men out there in the world. When I was growing up, my mom used to always say that as a man I did not need to learn how to cook because I could always find a woman to cook for me. She used to tell that to my sister, or if I had bad habits like not cleaning my room or something that obviously should not be done by your kids, she would always say that whenever a woman came along that I liked, I would stop doing whatever trifling behavior I had at the time. I feel like she did not try hard enough to actually raise a man. I never had any male role models. It was only me and my mom, sister, and grandparents. I had an uncle and a grandfather, but they were never real role models. I don't even want to have kids because I wonder, well, what if I have a child and it's a boy? What the hell am I going to teach them? I never had no father or role models in my life. I'm currently 27 and every day it feels like I'm just winging manhood and just trying to figure this shit out. Whether it's career choices, how to treat a woman, etc. I'm clearly not dumb. I'm not a useless man, but I do feel that my life would be so much different if I had some level of guidance throughout my life, even just a little bit.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we almost 40. And this life thing, you winging it to the end. I hate to inform you about that shit because life don't come with nobody's instructions. And the thing about growing up, you've learned some things about manhood. You learn what not to do, what to do based off of your life experiences. But I do understand how you feel, you know, because sometimes it is hard. You be like, shit, I know for us, I was like, it's difficult enough to take care of me and to keep me safe. So, you know, when it comes to kids, that's another person that you're accountable and responsible for. And I know for me, I'm like, I'm good on that one.
Yeah, here's the thing I would say. I mean, I don't really care if you have a kid or not. That's mm-mm. totally up to you.
You're correct.
You're only 27. I know that you feel like, oh my God, I'm 27. 27 is not shit. Not to belittle your plight or whatever,
right.
But just telling you,
plenty
like
of time.
In the scale of life, like the shit you're worried about now, you know, 10 years from now, if you're still around, you won't be thinking twice about that shit. Here's what I will say though, for men, when it comes to fatherhood, I always see people. I really only see two types of men in fatherhood situations. It's either the guy who wants to be and live up to the example that his father gave to him, or the person that wants to be a good father because they want to do the opposite of what they've seen or not seen in their life due to either the father they had or the absence of the father they had. They vow to never be like that person. And that's mostly what I've seen as a man talking to other men and that are fathers and shit. Like at the core, it normally just comes down to either I think I had a good dad and I would like to emulate him and live my life that way, or I think I had a shitty dad or dad that wasn't around, and I would never let that happen to my child. For the good fathers, now I can't speak for what bad fathers do or whatever, I don't really kick it with any of them, but for people that are good fathers, that's the motivation I've always seen them have. As far as being a man and stuff, I mean, I don't know, I think what people learn from being a man is different, and a lot of shit is pride, a lot of shit is what's tied to you. Today's my father's birthday, as a matter of fact, who, you know, I always say, you know, on this show, like, that's my role model, that's my hero. So I have a lot less attachment to certain ideas about mentorship and male role models and even like fraternity and type, like all that type of stuff. I just have a totally different feel about it, because I feel like, well, my dad kind of gave me the tools that I need. I didn't need to look up to Bill Cosby or Michael Jordan or what other sacred cows there are for people to say so-and-so raised me, or this concept. Like, nah, my father and my mom raised me, and my dad just taught me a lot of shit about manhood. One of the things I was thinking about today was just how when I was a kid, I think manhood is defined in a lot of ways by how much damage we can do to the people around us, damage we can do to anyone who tries to harm us, damage we do when we harm people that, you know, that we intend to harm, you know, like physically, mentally, emotionally. A lot of manhood's measurements are kind of some barbaric type shit even to the day. But my dad always taught me, and it was weird at my school anyway, in my neighborhood, he taught me not to fight unless I had no choice. And you would think, well, duh, that's fucking typical. That shit was not typical where I'm from. Like, most of the kids in my school were taught, if somebody fucks with you, you fight them. And if you don't fight them, when you get home, I'ma whoop your ass.
Yeah, it's like, consequences be damned. You had to deal with them on the backside.
Right, and we're talking about young black kids, mostly black boys, you know, that were taught, this was our rite of passage. This is our ritual. This was the way to show you belong and in the herd, you know. And I'm a asthmatic, glasses wearing, comic book reading, transformer playing with nerd in this environment, you know. So my dad taught me that restraint was strength in these situations, you know. I remember getting into a few, I mean, because kids are going to get into fights, but I got into a couple fights that were either unjustified or I thought I had reasoning for them, but then I come home and he'd break down the reason and be like, you still had a choice, and you made a choice to fight, and you didn't need to do that. You know, he's like, he didn't forbid me to fight. He just said it should not be the recourse, and I never got rewarded for that. Even when I fought to defend myself and I was right, he never was like, you did a good job, did you win the fight? Like, never. And I think a lot of parents are very preoccupied with that, right? That's what a lot of people think being a man is. As far as when you were a kid, if your mom was raising you and your father wasn't around, I mean, I can't specifically speak to this individual situation, so I'm going to speak in general terms here. But I think, especially for black men, there's a lot of black men who are raised in single parent households by their moms,
mm-hmm.
and they somehow end up resenting their mom out of what really is their dads putting their moms in impossible situations where they have to work and manage the income for two parent income from one person, you know, where they don't have the time to set up everything, where, you know, they just may be trying to get you to a point where you're eating every day and being, you know, living and being able to stay with them and all this shit, and they might not understand the importance or had the time to be like, I need your grandfather to come around and mentor you. Not to mention, there's a lot of people that could use that type of help in their lives, but the men in their lives don't really see themselves as being connected enough to them or that kid to take the time out to do it. You know, even the programs where they have like big brother programs, that takes time. You know, you gotta enroll the kid in there, you gotta have time and transportation to get them back and forth, like, and this is not to sound harsh, but you're 27 now, you know what your upbringing was, you're cognizant of who you are right now. You have to take responsibility for whatever it is that you think would edify your existence as a human being, you know, beyond just gender of man and woman, but just as a human, as a person who is on this planet, who I assume is trying to leave the planet in a better state than when we came in, right? Like, I feel like most of us are that way. At some point, it's on you to do it for yourself. Like, whether it be therapy, whether it be reading up on some literature, whether it be finding some people that are talking about these topics of masculinity, manhood, teaching yourself skills. Like, you can only resent your mother's, you know, patriarchal teachings that I'm sure she learned from society as well. You can only resent that shit for so long, dog, before it's on you to be like, well, listen, I'm 27. I know how to clean a room now. And maybe you're already doing these things. This is not to say you aren't. Like I said, I'm speaking in general. But at some point, it's on you. You know, like, one of the things I've been doing a lot lately is cooking. You know, like, one is therapeutic as fuck, I think. But then two, you know, it's contributing to the household in a way that, you know, Karen gets off of work. I don't want her to feel like, well, now time to put it in my second job, cleaning and cooking the fucking everything in the house. And then, and I've been sitting here, you know, all day, you know, not typically, like, I'm on the go, but still, I've been here more than she has. And there's no reason that she should have to come in and wash and dry the clothes. It just doesn't make fucking sense. You know what I mean? There's no reason that she should have to come in and cook a meal if she doesn't want to. That doesn't make any sense. But I think that it's about the way we are taught to think as men. Because we're taught that in the absence of once a woman is in the picture somehow, you don't have to do anything. We're just taught that. And it's an innate type of programming that, you know, is fucked up, you know, because even when you're a kid, you're made to do these things, but then it's always just kind of like, and then one day a woman will take this over when you're a boy. It's never like that for girls. They're never like, and then you'll get a husband and he'll have a maid come in and cook and clean. Cause you're going to like very few girls are raised to think they're going to get a man that's going to make it so they don't have to do anything but exist, right? So yeah, I just feel like at some point, and I mean, you're 27, so let's say now, if you haven't started, it's on you to be like, I'm gonna teach myself how to cook. You know, there's these meal things, HelloFresh, you can, that's what I use right now. You can like literally learn to cook from that. It's very simple type of shit, but you can learn
real
to cook right from that for basically you know, $60 a week for if you're by yourself, you're really getting 2 to 3 meals out of every meal. So you're really getting like
a week's worth,
at least 6 meals
if you're single.
If you're single and you're cooking, you know, and it's a skill. It's a skill, but it's also something that, in addition to just not being quote unquote useless around your house, it's also just, it edifies yourself. It makes you better and more reliant on yourself. You know, I think the skills that, if we're talking about relationships, the skills we want to bring into a relationship, they make people more valuable. You know, it is a competition out there. It's a race, you know, and a lot of motherfuckers as men, we're just taught that bringing our affection is all we gotta do.
Your dick.
Yeah, not even our dicks, to be honest. Not even our dicks, to be honest.
Because some don't bring affection.
No, yeah, our presence. That's the best way to put it. Our presence. Right. Not even affection. Right. You're right. Our presence is, I'm a man and I am here. The end. That was the whole fucking point, right?
That was the part of the deal you signed up for.
Everything you've done as a woman or a suitor in a cishet situation is to get to me. The cishet man.
I'm your goal. You have accomplished everything in life.
And I don't have to do shit. Now, what are you going to do to keep me around? And that's kind of the way a lot of men approach relationships. And you know, I feel like it's unhealthy for not just the woman you're attached to, but yourself. You know?
Yeah, it does a disservice to everybody involved, because when you're the way most people are taught our relationships work, like you said, boys are taught to, you know, you get old, you can play, you can have all these sexual partners, you can sow your oats or whatever they want to say until you get tired of it, and then you go and quote unquote pick a woman. You know, for women, your quote unquote goal is to get married and have kids. There's a lot of women that don't have them goals and don't want those goals. They're like, fuck a man and a kid, you know. And society look at men and women, because a man can say, well, I don't want to get married and I don't want to have kids, and a lot of, most of the time, he's fine. He doesn't get the same, he doesn't get looked down upon by society as much as a woman.
Yeah, man. And so this is not to be cold, and I know it's going to sound cold, and I promise you I'm not trying to be cold, but at some point is you being aware that you feel like you were not raised or properly molded. That's the end of the excuse, because you know, so you don't get to say, well, I'm just fucked up, that's it. Like, you know, and you didn't say you weren't taking any steps. I don't want to presume that you're not, but I'm just saying, at 27, you're past the age of like, well, if my mom hadn't taught me, well, you have to teach yourself, you have to know better, you have to, like, you know, just the empathy within you should be like, I don't want to be somebody's burden. You know, I don't, like, there was an article, I don't think we read it on the show, but where it said that, did we read it on the show about the husbands stress their wives out more than babies, more than children?
I don't think we did. No, but that's a true statement.
Yeah, but the point being, like, why would you want to be the one in that equation adding to your wife's stress? You know, adding to the woman you're around stress. Like, it's just, you know, it's a very small thing you can do. And I'm not saying now you need to do all the work in the relationship and shit. I'm just saying, contribute something more than just, here's my check. More than just, you know, I'm gonna fuck you tonight. Like, more than that. It's just gotta, like, these things are not, you know, and I'm not saying you need to get patted on the back for it. I think women are conditioned to pat us on the back for these things. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying you need to be pat on the back. You know, like, I grew up in a household where you thank somebody for cooking. It could be my mom, my dad. You need to acknowledge they cook for you. You need to acknowledge that it's good. You need to acknowledge the time that they put in for that shit. You know, maybe you go in there and you do the dishes. Maybe you, you know, cause my dad and wouldn't let us use the dishwasher. Like all black parents. Anyway.
Even though they had a functioning one.
Right. Like all black parents. But the point being, like, we, you know, you show some level of work to make it, an equitable situation in your home. Like, it's gotta be some level of equality. It don't have to be, we all do the same shit. Like, your wife don't have to cut the grass and you bake the cake just to prove a point. Your house is your house, but there has to be some level of sweat equity put into every relationship, or else somebody's gonna feel like they're getting fucked, and it's gonna be resentment, you know. And the worst part to me is there's a lot of women that are basically taught, if they're not doing everything, then they're not woman enough.
Yeah.
And so they'll drive themselves crazy, and a lot of men will let them drive themselves crazy, and because patriarchy is fucked up. Just like your mom told you a woman should do this and this, she's not thinking of, I'm sure to her, some extent, she probably did a bunch of shit in y'all house that, you know, she probably didn't need to do with two kids that were probably able to do some shit, you know? Or maybe she did stuff for you that she wouldn't do for your sister, because she's like, a man shouldn't have to, you know, like, a lot of times women feel that pressure, you know? Just like masculinity can be, put you in a box and make you feel pressure. I feel like that can happen as well for women.
Yeah, because I'm not even gonna lie, when we got married years ago, I fell into that trap, because when you get married, there are no instructions, there's no books, there's no rules, there's no regulations. Your marriage is whatever you make of it, like whatever you and the significant other or others make of that relationship. And I fell underneath that trap under womanhood and what was attached to my womanhood. And I was that person that would literally be exhausted. I wake up in the morning, work all day long, come home, cook, clean, take care of everything, do all the things, wash the clothes, do all the, and Roger didn't ask me this, I just assumed that it was my responsibility, did all these things, and then that's tiring. So your 8 hour or 10 to 12 hour day, however long you're at work, turns into a almost 20 something hour day or longer, you know, because you've literally been functioning. You haven't sat down, you haven't had time to breathe, you had to fight traffic to work, you had to fight traffic from work. And a part of a functioning relationship, particularly with the mate that you're intimate with, is intimacy. So when it was time for intimacy, I was fucking exhausted. I was like, leave me alone, I've been up for 18 hours straight, or I've been, you know, doing like 2 jobs for 7-8 days or 2 weeks straight. I was just exhausted. And though that's one of the, for women, actually for me, that was one of the first things you kind of don't want to do anymore, because you're fucking exhausted. You go, well, who has time to fuck? I got all these other things to do in my house. So I had to find a balance and go, you know what? You have a partner. Your partner is here for a reason, and your partner should be somebody to help assist you. Why are you married but you're still functioning as though you're single? It makes no sense. What's the point of your partner being here if your partner does not share the burden with you of life?
Right. I'm a constant like check-in person. So I'm sure it could be a little bit annoying, but you know, I'm like, you okay? You sure you want to do that? You don't have to do that. Okay, just letting you, like, because I'm not a person that like tells Karen what to do or whatever. I know some people have relationships where they like tell each other like, you can't do this or you can do that or you gotta do that. But I'm like, you're an adult. If you think coming home from this long ass shift at work and cooking right now when we have the money to go out and just grab something or, you know, whatever, you think this is a better thing that you want to do, that's fine. But just, you don't have to. Just want to let you know you don't have to. And I'm not sitting around measuring. Mm-mm. I'm not sitting around like measuring shit. Like, I noticed you didn't cook tonight. Like, it was.
I know none of that happened. I just assumed that I was supposed to do that.
I think you know, we're mostly talking about men when we talk about this stuff, mm-hmm. but because a lot of the ways that men do it hurts other people.
Correct.
And a lot of stuff that women take on to be a quote unquote better woman hurts themselves. So I think that's why our conversations kind of veer towards man shit more. But yeah, that shit can hurt. Patriarchy hurts everybody.
Yeah, and not only that, when a woman does those like does those things where she tries to control and handle everything, because there's some women that are controlling now, but mm-hmm. when you try to do all that stuff in the household, it does affect everybody in the household. It affects your mate when it comes to intimacy. It affects your relationship, because some women begin to have resentment towards their mate, because that pride raises and you don't want to ask him to do anything, because patriarchy has told you that you don't ask a man to help around the house, mm-hmm. and you don't ask him to do these quote unquote womanly things. Like,
or by the time you do ask, it's like filled with attitude and shit, because you've been in your head, you stress yourself out, and then it's, well, you ain't gonna clean up or nothing. Damn. It's like, you know, I see people that talk to each other like that, because mm-hmm. they wait till it's time to snap to say something,
right,
as opposed to being like, yo, I'm struggling right now,
right? And it's best to catch it before you get to the point where you're exhausted and you're right. tired and you're drained. And not only that, it affects the children. Like, a lot of dudes better realize, like, if your wife is stressed out talking about in a straight relationship, it affects the kids. Like, it affects, particularly if you have a mate that does not help with the children. You don't bathe them, you don't wash them, you don't do homework, you don't assist any of that stuff. So all the cooking and cleaning and stuff falls in her lap, in addition to getting them to daycare, getting them to school, getting them to after school, all that stuff falls on her plate too. So now you're literally talking to somebody where, you know, 80 hours a week turned into 120, 130 hours a week, you know, work week. You know, and that can be exhausting too. And guess who ends up being penalized for that? Your children. All of a sudden, your children end up being, cause guess what? Mommy's tired. So mommy's snapping. Mommy's going off. Mommy doesn't have the patience anymore. You know, like, and children pick up on those things and they see those things.
Yeah. So it's good that you know you're having certain issues and shit. That's, that's like a huge part of everything,
right?
You know,
that, but like that, that's the first step. And baby, I know how it feels to be raised without a single parent, and I know how it feels to, you know, as you get older, you begin to look back on your life and be like, well, damn, that was fucked up. But you know what? You have to get to the reality where you go, well, that was fucked up. I learned from it, and I learned that I'm not going to repeat that behavior.
Yep. All right, let's get into the next comment. Linda says, please give the link to the Avery J store. I couldn't find the Shopify. That is my bad. I totally fucking blanked on putting the link in the show, even though I said I would put the link in the show notes. I will definitely put the link in the show notes. Let me go ahead and spell it out for y'all, though. It's Avery-J, the letter J, -clothing.myshopify.com. And Avery is spelled AVERI-J-clothing.myshopify.com. I will put the link in the show notes. That is my bad. Sorry about that, Kennard. And we'll get that. We'll put it in the show notes today. The poll was simple. Have you cooked for yourself or others this week? See, cooking was on my mind. I don't know. I couldn't think of nothing else. Yes, but it's part of my job, 4%. Yes, for my own personal use, 75%. And nope, 21%. Kiana says, have y'all heard the nature videos where Snoop Dogg does the narration? Nigga, get into it. I would watch this shit on TV every week. We need the show to have narration and people voicing the thoughts of the animals. I can already hear Kevin Hart being scared as gazelle running from the cheetahs in the wild. Yeah, that would be good too. I wasn't necessarily talking about that, but that would work as well. Like, I'm really just talking about
a commentary,
the same thing as what comes on Discovery Channel, but just with black people. Mm-hmm. That's it. The only thing we changing is black people talking about it. Nothing else changes.
You know, white people gonna be like, it's a tiger in the wild. Her name is Chitara. She's there with her cubs. She's protecting them. And they're on the hunt tonight. We're following them with our night goggles. We're gonna go see.
Yeah, I like when they try to take it on a personal level, like, you know, like they go through the animal's thought process, like,
yes.
Chitara knows that the floods are coming, and after the monsoon, there'll be no more Giselle left in the valley. If she and her cubs don't eat tonight, they will likely starve to death. And then they just zoom in on the fucking thing and they show her like stalking through and they show her Giselle and all that shit. I just want black people to just take that white dude out of it and just have them be like, God damn, that cheetah looks scary as fuck. What?
Come on.
I think it's hanging. Oh shit, it's looking at the Giselle. Like, I just want that in there. I don't need the white man. Mm-hmm. All right. The next episode was 1727's Dak Lives Matter. Anonymous says, when I heard the concept for Confederate, I immediately thought of East of West. The book is hella compelling. If it's like that, I'm all the way in. If it's some bullshit, then I just won't watch. Fortunately, we live in a time with an abundance of content, so I'm okay with HBO taking a risk. I'm not saying I trust them, but I'll at least check it out. Because right. It's not the first show to use an alternative history as a means of making social commentary. It's not.
Mm-mm.
The Man in the Tower, whatever the fuck they got on Amazon. It's just, I don't know, man. Sometimes I feel like such a, I don't know. Like, I'm either like one of the only people that's out here just trying to admit that I'm human, or everybody is just so woke that I just missed the memo. Cause like when I hear this shit, I just don't get mad. I don't get pre-mad at shit. There's so much shit in the world to be mad about.
Yes, it is.
It's just so much. As black people, it's so fucking exhausting. I don't want to get pre-mad about something like this.
Right. You know? Right. And the thing is, I was reading a study, and you're talking about like anger and stress. I didn't realize this, but they say going back to the 80s, the government had a memo out that says that African American women lose their children at a much higher rate than any other population, and that is still to today. And a lot of that is just from just stress, you know, like,
are you talking about being pregnant?
Yes, okay. Being pregnant. A lot of more black women have miscarriages and have stillborn birth children stillborn than any other race in America, and that's still true to today. And a lot of black women don't know it because so many black women have lost 1, 2, and 3 children, and they just go through the silence of losing a child and don't share and don't talk because of the shame and all that stuff attached to it, and it just comes from stress. And they said that they've even had Africans come to America and birth children and have normally regular children. We even have a higher increase of children that are born low weight, like low weight children, than any other group of people. And so, but like I said, they have Africans who come to America and have children, and their children don't run into the same problem. So the stress that we deal with actually affects the next generation.
Yeah, I just also feel like the social media influence and like peer pressure of folks to join in on everything, or to at least have a commentary or a discussion on everything, it leads to shit like, you know, like No Confederate was trending when they announced this shit, and I'm like, do y'all even like, are y'all really gonna care that much? And for a large part, a lot of these niggas that say that are gonna end up watching, you know, like that's the part. It's, I don't know. Like I said, I'm disillusioned with people. 2018 has been a year, okay? It's only August. It's been a year for me already. Cause it's just like, sometimes I just look at people, I'm like, is this for the brand? Is this for the, mm-hmm. is this sincere? Is this
you don't know.
Is this just so you can make an intellectual argument over and 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 over again? Like, what is the point of this shit? Cause, it's legitimately like, if it's bad, we can all wait to be offended. And if it's good and you still are offended by the concept, even if it's good, you can wait to not watch. And then it's like, it's such a futile exercise, because once it comes out, there's gonna be people with agendas that are like, I have to not like this. I'm gonna say, no matter how much creative control they give these black people that wrote it or produced it or whatever the fuck they did, I'm gonna say it ain't shit, because I decided that I could not like this before it even came out. It's just I don't know, it's just ridiculous, man. Like, yeah. I'll wait. Like, it might be infuriating. I'll just wait. That's all I'm saying. I don't think that's such a controversial thing to say, but it feels that way sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like that sometimes. I think that I'm not like that anymore. I'm like, okay, we'll just see the shit whenever it come out, and if it ain't good, people ain't gonna watch it, and that'll be the end of it. Like, I was like that about Blackish, just off of the name, I'm not even gonna lie, and it ended up being a great show, you know.
People like that about 12 Years a Slave. People, I mean, it just is what it is, man. I get it. I'm trying not to be too cynical on folks, but it's just sometimes it's just like, there were 12 fucking things that happened today. This cannot be the one that
send you off the edge.
Yeah, I'm not joining y'all in this one. Like, y'all got it. Congrats, like, good luck. If y'all get it canceled, I won't cry no tears. But if y'all don't get it canceled, because cooler heads prevail, and a lot of times they know that a lot of people must be full of shit. I'll just put it
they are.
A lot of people must be full of shit, because too many things I've seen people quote unquote cancel are just flourishing like fuck. And motherfuckers that claim not to fuck with it be up on every move. Like, this week, there was yesterday, there was a clip of the Kardashian show on Twitter, and it was fucking trending. And it was nothing but just motherfuckers talking about whether or not it was an argument, was good, or why they don't like him, or why they do like him, and da da da. And I was like, didn't y'all cancel them? Didn't y'all say y'all not keeping up with them?
Don't
y'all say y'all don't watch the show?
I don't.
Right. I know, me and you both, we really don't.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, only time we talk about them is white people news.
Right, that's right. That's the only time she do something, either one of her or Kanye do something where it is so big that you did it. You got to see. Other than that, I don't watch.
But my point is, somebody lying.
Yes, they are.
It doesn't add up. Like, the amount of vitriol and disdain, it's almost like you need them on some puritanical shit to be around, so that you have a thing to funnel your hate into.
Correct.
Because, and they've monetized it.
Yes, they have.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so wild. You know, somebody brought the Buffy reboot in the chat. Same thing. Black woman writer, black woman lead, possibly. Motherfuckers like, I don't need this. Cancel this. Cancel Joss Whedon. And I'm like, you say that, but I know when it comes out, your black ass gonna be watching, even if you watch so you can then tell everybody on the timeline how it ain't shit.
Right.
It's just so weird.
And I know the nerds are gonna be mad at me. I haven't watched the Buffy. I watched bits and pieces when Roger was watching.
Nah, nobody's gonna be mad at you about
but
that.
But I haven't watched original Buffy, but I watch it with a black Buffy.
Yeah, nobody's gonna. Why would anybody be mad about that?
Oh, you know that there's people that love Buffy and Buffy is their thing. And
it's like a hand. Black people, it's a handful of black people that really fuck with Buffy like that. Like, I'm not saying it's not like some cultural touchstone.
Okay.
You know, it's like, it's good, but especially since Joss Whedon's falling out of flavor, or out of favor for being a woman. Well, I guess he cheated on his wife. I don't know how that necessarily, I don't know how that works. Anyway, he cheated on his wife and, definitely violated a lot of the things that he claims is to say, publicly about treating women a certain way and all this shit. And he was already out of favor a long time ago as a male, like, quote unquote feminist. Because, you know, like, as soon as somebody puts that title on you, on yourself, or somebody puts that label on you, either way, it's, let's go find out how this dude is fucked up, you know? And no human being is gonna withstand the level of scrutiny that people would put on somebody for that. Like, no woman would withstand it, and no human being is gonna match up to everybody's ideals about what feminism should be. Cause there's varying ideals, you know, but the point being, I don't think people would down you for saying I didn't watch Buffy, cause now it's kind of more on some, well, yeah, I mean, Josh, we didn't fuck him, right? You know, so I don't think they would get on you for that.
Okay.
But yeah, they put out a Black Buffy, I would watch, and most other people would watch, and they, you know, they maybe they'll hate watch or whatever, but niggas be lying. That's all I'm saying.
Yes,
the ratings tell the truth.
Come on.
Cent said all that shit in Power Trends every Saturday and Sunday.
All weekend.
Everybody's like,
people get mad
him.
When you spoil it.
Cancel him. Terry Crews is a godsend, and this motherfucker, and I'm like, is that for real? Is that the truth? Or y'all still watching Power? Oh, y'all still watching. Okay. Yeah. Everybody full of shit, man. And for the and then Terry Crews is out here asking about transracial and transgender shit. So it's like, all these niggas don't believe in nobody. All these motherfuckers are flawed, and everybody, be lying when they talk about canceling people. Are you going to sign back up for Netflix now? Cause Monique, said that she defended Roseanne. And I said, you know what? Time to go ahead and renew that subscription. Yes, the Focot.
We have never missed a payment, y'all.
You don't know that because you don't pay for it. I'm the only one see the bills here.
Karen, please have used my Netflix with no problems.
Well, Karen, please don't. We have a brand to keep in front of the people. Okay, there's no need for you to be spilling all this tea.
Talking about me not telling the truth. Tell the people the truth.
Are you gonna sign back up for Netflix now? Yes, the Focot is over. No, I'm sticking with Monique, or I never unsubscribed. 10% of y'all said yes, the Focot is over. I'm signing back up. 90% said I never unsubscribed. And 0% says, no, I'm sticking with Monique. So everybody back on Netflix. Chuck says Netflix has to sponsor legislation to reinstate slavery for me to cancel. you know, I did just finish watching Lost in Space and it was good. So maybe that's what we need. Papa John need to buy some Netflix stock for us to all cancel it.
I still wouldn't cancel it.
1728 TBGWT the remix. Do you even watch Netflix?
I do.
Okay, what you be watching on Netflix?
I haven't watched.
This is like how you go to Arby's, because I feel like I watch Netflix and you don't.
Now you do watch it more than me.
Okay, all right, you say so. I know I can log in and check your viewer history on
The site. It's probably been a while now. I'm not even gonna lie, but
you probably ain't watched since Monique said stop watching. So I don't know why you acting so gung-ho about some Netflix.
All I know is that you've been paying the goddamn bill. Don't lie to them people.
That is true.
That ain't got nothing to do with how much I watch. I'm the reason why they make money. You pay this money and you might watch every now and then.
Episode 1728 TBGWT the remix. Sim Simmer says Niecy Nash is out here living her best life with a hit show, star on Hollywood Walk of Fame, being saluted by so many for her talent and consistency with putting black people on, especially rooting for women. She's fine and her husband is fine too. And then her fool ass girlfriend Sherri Shepherd just won't be quiet. Shepherd is multi-layered terrible, so I expect the very least. And I think the only reason I get frustrated is because I stand for Niecy. I wonder if Niecy calls her and says, I'm actually angry, sad, and disappointed. My reaction is, Rod, the other day you mentioned some of her shows and I wonder if you ever seen Getting on HBO. I have not. Niecy got an Emmy nomination for her role on the show, kind of a dark comedy, but I think you might enjoy it. I'll see what I can do. I'll add it to the long list. Steph Simpson says, so I decided to ride the wave and join the TBGWT book club. I had absolutely no idea I was signing up for, LOL.
No! You didn't know!
This hoe got roaches in her crib. That's right, they changed the name.
Oh!
Didn't we talk about this?
We did. Okay. We did. All right. But for some reason, it get me every time because I guess I still got the original version.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was this hoe got roaches in her cribs is what happened when you're trying to do some summer reading on a budget. Amazon, I had no words for this. How'd we get here? It is literally the best 99 cents I have ever spent. This book has the audacity to be 1,000 pages. In any case, I'm super excited. It's 1,000 pages for real.
I didn't know that. We might have to break it.
Maybe we will have to break it down. I feel like I'm zooming through this shit. I'm on like chapter 5 already. 1,000 for real. Anyway, in any case, I'm super excited. I was lucky enough to have my coins in order in time to get one of the VIP tickets for the second run. Now I'm counting down the days. Hey, yes. Gonna see you, Steph. Come on. Can't wait to see y'all in September. Keep being great and thanks for all you two do for us. Oh man, thank you, Steph. And thank you for getting tickets. The Blackout Tips live, Charlotte, North Carolina, September 20th. Mm-hmm. 3 days for my birthday.
Tell all your family, tell all your friends.
Right before This Is Us comes back. It's gonna be a busy week, okay? Can't wait. Trey Swindu 7044 says, y'all are so damn hilarious and silly with all them damn sound effects. Yeah, it was on. Mm-hmm. Ladies!
See, that's what happened when you get us in the middle of the day. We got more energy.
Love y'all goofy asses. I was literally on my lunch in my office room cracking the fuck up. Congrats on getting your braces off, Karen.
Thank you.
Sherry's weirdo ass need to worry about her ex-husband who finessed her out of that money and not her weirdo son not liking black girls. Fuck out of here. Love this episode.
Thank you,
babe. Yeah, Sherry tried the most. The poll was, where Brooklyn at? I probably should have made it about something about Sherri Shepherd in hindsight, but here we are, guys.
Ah!
I couldn't think of something at the moment. Where Brooklyn at? In the greater NYC area? In the house or over here? Only 8.7% of y'all said over here. 30.4% of y'all said in the house. And 61% of y'all basically said in the greater NYC area. And that is, all three of those are correct, I guess.
Yes, they are.
Cause I mean, where is Brooklyn at?
I've never been. I don't know. Like literally, I've never been to Brooklyn.
1729 Racism Karma was this episode. Talked about that dude who called somebody a nigger, followed him home to call him a nigger, and then got on camera and then got lost his job and became the real victim.
Yes, the real victim.
Trapping as a Hobby says, this was an exceptionally good show. Thanks, Ryder Karen.
Thank you.
Really Dark Knight says, so the racist man who followed the guy home is losing his business. I just want you to know that shit is a bop. My favorite motherfucking song. It's my jam. Hit the music, Rod. I did not come prepared to hit the music, but I will play. Here's a jam.
Check.
Put some respect on my check.
or pay me in equity. Watch me reverse out of debt. You got a lavish basket. We live in lavish, lavish. I got expensive fabrics. I got expensive habits. He wanna run away with me. He likes to run away with me. He wanna play with me. He wanna give me that vitamin D. Ice ornaments. Ice style ornaments. You ain't on of this. Don't think they on of this. Yeah, 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 yeah. Bottom of that.
Yep, he ain't got no job no more. Trey underscore Swindu 744 says, shout out to video cameras on phones. You the real MVP. Ha ha ha. Racism and hatred is so illogical. I, for the life of me, can't understand why these people think they are going to get away with talking crazy to black people. It's like white people have a different internet than us.
They do.
How is that possible?
And they do, because you have to think, when it comes to whiteness and whiteness in general, a lot of them, because of the privilege of racism, they don't have to be on top of internet. They don't have to be on top of Facebook. You know, let them keep that real. That they don't have to be on top of. That's why you said white people just constantly say stupid shit and then be like, oh, they dragging people for that? Like Scarlett Johansson, all that shit. Oh, like they just want to quote unquote be oblivious and then do some shit. And people like, well, social media don't work like the outside world sometimes. And you know, they get the shock of their lives when they realize you get recorded, somebody put on the internet, and then you get real life consequences, because you still have a lot of generation of people who think that the internet and real life are two separate things, but they do coexist at times.
I guess it's just weird. It's just weird to me that white people don't know about these white people that are going viral losing their jobs.
Yeah, like somebody said, they're default. So why should I care? If I've been racist all my life, what the fuck I give a goddamn about? You know, because if a nigger is a nigger, you don't care if you're a nigger with a phone, a nigger with no phone, a nigger, you know, like in your mind, you know, your irrational and illogical and hate-filled heart, you don't care. So, you know, it's like consequences be damned.
Well, I mean, I guess to each their own and shit, but I don't know. It's just weird that, I mean, I think in some of the videos lately I've been seeing, like, sometimes white people get a little scared. Like, they start to realize, oh, God, I'm on camera. This is, and I'm like, I guess maybe some of this shit is starting to spread, because
it is.
You know, some of them seem to be becoming more aware, but just in general, it's kind of weird that they're not already at the stage of like, oh, God, a camera on the phone. Let me stop now. I could be on, like, fucking Instagram Live. I could be on fucking Facebook right now. I could just be about to be on Twitter. I'm gonna be on the news tonight. Like, are they not watching the news? Because it's not just the stories are viral on social media, but like the stories are now like the Daily Show is covering it, all the cable news stations are covering it. How are you still confused as to what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, and the thing is, you regular white person, you ain't like the president. You can't walk out there and lie and have people support you and your stupidity and your ignorance and you be all right. No, you got consequences to that bullshit.
Yeah, it's just very weird. All right. Let's see what else we got. Shout out to video cameras on phones. Oh yeah. Okay. I for the life of me can't understand why these people think they're gonna get away with talking crazy to black people. I say this all the time. Don't let Trump get you fucked up. Thanks for another great one. Peace and love, Ryan Karen. Yeah, they're really lucky. Thank people you. Aren't just whooping their ass for the most part. Like, we as black people still do recognize that if we whoop your ass and the cops show up, it don't matter that you were harassing us. The poll was, do you think Papa John's will go out of business because they lost so much money lately? Yes or no? 18% say yes, 82% say no.
Nah, they'll rename it before they go out of business, because it's too much money involved. Like, you have investors, you know, you're on the market, the stock exchange. Like, I think going out of business would be the last thing they want to do.
All right. And then the poll, we had one comment. Tiffany says, hey y'all, listening to y'all discuss toxic family members really has my eyes sweating here at work, and it's because I just recently gave myself permission to tell my older cousin no when she asked me for money, and for this last time in the past. I've always given it to her. The time before this, I sent her a spreadsheet to help her with budgeting, because y'all, she got paid on Friday and asked me for money on Tuesday. It's gotten to the point where I don't even like taking her calls, opening up her text, because I know it's gonna be her needing something. I asked my dad, is it too much to not want every time to hear from her? It's only because she needs something. I chose to not let it bother me, because I know we're not all the same, but damn, I can admit that it really hurt my feelings. When my grandmother passed, she called me about a week later, and I'm thinking it was to express her sympathy. Nope, that nigga needed $60. This past weekend, I took a mini vacay to the beach, and when I tell you, it gave me everything I needed and more. I only took phone calls from my son and my parents, because he was staying with them, lol. Well, that nigga, my cousin, must have saw how much fun I was having on Instagram, damn it, social media, and sent me a text Sunday saying, good morning, cousin, how are you? I did take your advice with our previous conversation, start a budget. But being out a month, just going back the other day, along with my living arrangements, has been tough. I promise this is my last time making my problems your problem. If you can spare me $40 until my first payday, I'll greatly appreciate it. Mm-mm. Does she ever pay you back? Because it sounds like, from what you've been writing, she don't ever pay you back.
Yeah, you don't.
So it's not really more of a loan as much as a
you just giving money. Yes, yeah. Yes. And it's also one of those things too, to where that separation sometimes need to branch out on social media. Yeah, sometimes block a phone call, block a text message. No, you can't reach me.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then she goes on, she said some other stuff about moving the end of the month, but I almost let her steal my relaxation at that moment. I put my phone down, went to the bar, I waited until Tuesday and responded back saying, good morning, no I can't, I'm excited about your move as well, please let me know once you get settled.
Come on.
Hidden Sins gave me the calm and peace that I had being out in the ocean, and there are no regrets. Sorry this is so long, but that really hit home for me. I say to y'all, keep them toxic folks out your life, and take more than they give, and you end up being the one worn out in the end. Love y'all.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, and then eventually, like, they gonna end up turning on you anyway.
Yes, they will. 'Cause
at some
point,
you're not gonna be able to do for them, and a lot of times, that becomes, because they've made so many of their problems your problem, it's, you're making this a problem for me now. It's like, I'm not doing shit. You have issues within your life that I can't solve by myself. And I have my own problems and my own things I'm dealing with.
Right, and you're not my child. I didn't birth you. I'm not responsible for you.
Yeah, like, that, you know, that's, I mean, and then especially if somebody only hits you up to ask for something.
Now, that's annoying.
That's fucked up, man. You know, like, you don't just ever hit me up just to see how I'm doing. Like, what kind of shit is this?
Yep, and when I realized, and go back through the text and realize the only time you hit me up is, and a lot of times people hit me up, a lot of times I will sometimes never respond back, wait a week or two.
Yeah.
I block. I will do that. Like I said, I'm that ninja person, you know, and then you see them, they be like, oh, I've been trying to call you. I'm like, oh, I've been busy.
It also stresses your social media experience out.
Yes, it does.
Because you just don't know to be like, oh, I got a drink today. And then this motherfucker's like, if you got $5 to drinks, then you got $5 to PayPal me. You know, like, all right, nigga, calm down. You know, like, chill. All right, last episode, 1730, triggerish. D. Ramsey PH Dunn says, Mission Impossible Fallout introduced me to Imagine Dragons song Friction. Love you both. Yep, we love it.
Mm-hmm.
Amani says, what's up, my triggers? Hey, nothing much, triggers. My trigger. My trig. Really Dark Knight says, I'm not here to shame anybody's kink, but I don't think I will ever understand the whole cuckold thing. So I get some dudes to break off my wife in front of me while I just watch. Oh, I get to film it, and sometimes the wife talks shit about me whilst she getting broke off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna need one of these cuckolds to explain that to me, because never in my black ass life will I do that shit. I don't know if it's because we black. I don't know, really, to be honest. I think maybe it'd be interesting if I could find a cuckold to let me interview them for, but I don't even know where I would go to find some shit like that.
Yeah, and it's deep, because like I say, some of it's not racist, but a lot of it has some form of racism behind it. So that's one reason why, you know, for a lot of black people to go, I don't understand that bullshit.
Well, they definitely, like, there's a racial element to it that I definitely have seen in a lot of it.
Yes.
Like, not there are some, of them, but some, you know, yeah. but at the core of it, past, let's, if we can for a second, go past the racism. At the core of it, there's still something about a need to be almost emasculated. Cause you, like, a lot of these dudes, they want to be around and have their wife, like, talk about how small their dick is, or mm-hmm. how they don't satisfy them in bed,
right.
or how much better this dude is than him. And like, there's some, you know, I'm not trying to judge, because I really do feel like if that's somebody's kink, it shouldn't really be a judgment to the idea that
right.
some people like emasculation as a form of sexual gratification
right.
or mental, like, stimulation and arousal. They may get that out of that, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as everyone in the room's consenting. I have a much more hands-off approach to sexuality and sex than most people when it comes to at least my attitude towards it.
Correct.
Like, I actually don't care if somebody calls somebody the N-word during sex. If they consent to it, I just would never do that shit, and I don't want it nowhere around me. But in your room, if that's the thing you into, cool. Like, everything not for everybody, baby. If y'all have come to an arrangement and you feel like everybody's feelings is intact when y'all leave the room, however y'all manage that is not my fucking business. You know what I mean? Same thing if you want to see your wife get whatever the fuck, or I don't know if it works vice versa. I don't know, but if women are into that, or I don't care. You know, and I hate to say it that way, because I'm not trying to be dismissive, right. but there's only so many things in the world I could care about, and that's one of the ones I don't care about.
Right.
But if we want to talk about the macro level issues of, like, why the fuck people are attached to sexualizing and hyper masculination of black men and shit, well, yeah, I got something to say about that.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
I don't know that shit comes from a good place, that you need to have 4 BBCs, bang your wife or some shit, and racist words and shit. I don't know that it's coming from a good, healthy situation, but it really ain't my business to dictate what it means for everybody. I just know, you know, that industry and the monetization of it, somebody lying. The numbers are too big for people to go.
The numbers are too big, y'all.
This is such a taboo. Like, mm-hmm. y'all lying about who's watching what. You're lying about how much you pay people and why. Like, it's a bunch of lies.
Correct.
You know, it sounds funny, but bear with me. It reminds me of when they said Denzel don't sell overseas at Sony, and we're like, we have the numbers. Y'all do know we have the box office numbers? Like, y'all do know this is publicly available to anybody.
Right.
We can find out if Denzel Washington is a box office star or not. Guess what? He is. You know, but racism would not allow them to admit that, the same way that racism won't allow them to admit that people want to see these white women fuck black men, which is why they pay more, as opposed to, we pay more because it's detrimental to her career. You know, there's a lot of stereotypes, and no, nigga, y'all want to see that the most. Now what are we gonna do? Because y'all fucking fear us so much. We're the big black monster. We're the most taboo thing a white woman can do. It's like putting fucking Princess Leia it's like if Princess Leia had to go in the pit and fight that big ass monster that Luke killed. It's like that. Like, it's the most, like, to y'all, we're that big ass monster. We're just humans like you. You know? Like, I don't want to put nobody on blast. I had a friend that was talking about a dude that, it's a white dude that saw his penis, somehow. He's black. The dude, my friend. And he's like, the white dude was telling his wife about it and talking about, oh, he has the biggest dick that I ever, da da da. And he was talking to me, he was like, Rod, my dick is like average size. It's just a regular dick.
Duh!
They just right. put that black on it.
Right.
And it's like he had to make it some sort of fulfillment for mm-hmm. his ideas and stereotypes that already existed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people just, I don't know, racializing and fetishism in the same thing just does some strange shit to people. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how all of us have met the white girl that some nigga who was trying to fuck her told her she had a big ass, but she don't. We've all met that girl. I have a big ass and you're like, no, some nigga just wanted to fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew saying that would make you feel some type of special.
Yeah, and then
you do not have a big ass.
Mm-mm.
Not that there's no white women with big asses.
Come on, cause
but somebody lied to you, boo.
Right, cause there is a difference between having a big ass and a wide ass. Those aren't the same.
Yeah, like y'all, like it just happens. Like niggas, I just like, you know, every black dude doesn't have a 13-inch cock. And every fucking white woman doesn't have a big old ass, but motherfuckers love throwing that shit in there and putting that curve on it when they want to like fetishize folks. And like I said, I'll let other people decide how healthy unhealthy that is, but individually y'all can a la carte pick whatever the fuck y'all want, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's on y'all. I don't have nothing to say. But anyway, I don't understand the cuckold thing either. But maybe they have another different type of understanding of sex and sexuality and communication. Cause
right.
I mean, it's like there's people in polyamorous relationships that, you know, deal with the feelings of the intimacy, jealousy, sexual attraction differently than your normal mainstream, monogamous, views of relationships. So there may be something to that, you know. Maybe each relationship is different is what I'm trying to say. There's some couples, they sharing those intimate experiences by like talking about it and being like, it was like this and then this happened. Some people don't ever tell me. I don't think I can handle that kind of shit. It's your business. I don't want to know who it is. No friends, no this. Like, everyone got different rules. I don't want to judge people for me not being into what they're into, and I also don't want to be judged for whatever the fuck I'm into, to be honest.
Right, and a lot of that is personal preference, and
all of it's personal preference,
personal taste. And you know, my thing is, as long as everybody is consenting, as long as nobody's doing anything against anybody's will, and you're not breaking the law, do whatever you please.
Yeah, this is really that simple for me. All right. Next comment, Zinzi says, Karen, I love you.
Thank you.
This episode was stellar as usual. I will be sending a long email about all the ways I admire you too soon.
Aww.
Oh, thank you, Zinzi.
Thank you.
Emil says, what up, my trigs? That's the shortened version of trigger, because I'd never say triggers, because that's just racist.
Aw, shit now.
Thanks, Emil.
Thank you.
3D printed guns, bad idea? Shit. I want one, or... no big deal, we already have a lot of guns. 6% of people say no big deal, we already have a lot of guns. 8% say shit, I want one. They gotta make them look better before I even come close to one. Them joints look
stupid. They gotta work like they did in that movie with Sterling K. Brown. Didn't he have a 3D gun?
3D printed gun,
and
yeah.
And that hotel movie.
But his shit looked cool.
It did.
This shit didn't look cool at all.
Oh, I ain't
seen
them.
Have you seen these guns? Mm-mm. It's just, they look like PVC pipe. It's terrible. And lastly, bad idea, 85% think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, because I don't want to have to be afraid of like real bullets and like plastic bullets too.
I don't think the bullets are actually plastic. I
don't
know
the hell they made out of.
Yeah, because you need like certain shit to make a gun fire. Like, I don't think it shoots out plastic. I think it shoots out real bullets.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. I don't even know the particulars. Maybe they got plastic bullets and real bullets. Who gives a fuck?
I don't know.
I'm just scared.
Cause I don't know nothing about 3Ds, and I don't want to have to worry about getting shot by metal and non-metal bullets, put like that.
One thing I did say though, I realized this after we got off the air, cause I was like, why is the NRA not against this? And I realized, because the idea of ghost guns and scary undetectable guns is good for the NRA and gun nuts, because it then gives more people fear to be like, well, now you need a gun for sure, because they don't even need a permit, they walk around with plastic guns. All right, emails theblackouttips@gmail.com. This is from, I hope I pronounced this right, it looks like Dal Savan. I hope I pronounced that right, and if not, I'm sorry. Hello, my friend Turk put me onto your show and I love it.
Shout out to Turk.
Thank you, Turk. Each one teach one. It's sad but also so refreshing that Rod is one of the few cishet men that is introspective, supportive of women of color, funny and smart, that I actually feel like I could trust as a queer radical woman of color. Well, that is very nice of you to say, and it is also really sad if there are not more. Like,
I know, is the boss up that low?
It is a low bar. Karen, congrats on getting your braces off.
Thank you.
Mine came off in December and now I smile all the time.
Come on, that's all I've been doing for the past week, just smiling.
I smile.
Come on, blinding people.
Also, your allyship, love, and support of other marginalized communities is just so appreciated and loved. Thank you for being a strong woman of color voice on these here Whitey podcast waves. They are rather white.
Thank you. Yes, they are.
Lots of foam on the podcast waves, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Not that much chocolate.
I love y'all's relationship, banter, accountability, and intelligence. Thank you for all the work that you do. Well, thank you. And I'm sorry I probably fucked your name up. I tried. I really did. I really got to give y'all some nicknames, but then sometimes people feel like that's disrespectful. So, you know, but thank you for writing in, seriously. Mm-hmm. Cut them off for your own health. This is from Derica, who says, hey Rod and Karen, I really appreciate this discussion. I strongly believe in removing myself from unhealthy relationships, no matter who it is. We get to decide what we accept from people, and there's no way I can maintain a relationship with anyone who chooses to disrespect my boundaries or be abusive to me in any form. I at least try to communicate how their behavior affects me, but when nothing changes, I have to choose me and not apologize for it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I recently discussed this with my oldest brother, but he went into that, but the family argument. Family connects us, sure, but we should choose to ignore the negative impact a person who has, but why should we choose to ignore the negative impact a person has on our lives and health because of that? Toxic is toxic, no matter the labels you place on a relationship. Great discussion. Long live TBGWT.
Right, because there are a lot of people who put up with all types of people where if this was a stranger on the street, you would cut them off. Mm-hmm. But because they're family, you allow them to abuse you, even though for various different things, you allow them to use you, abuse you, and do all these other kinds of things to you where if there was no relationship to them, you would cut them off and keep moving. You know, and sometimes cutting family members off actually benefit both parties. It benefits you and it benefits them, and it causes them to do self-reflection. It doesn't always happen, but sometimes cutting them off actually will be better off for them, because then they'll have to depend on themselves. And sometimes if that person does grow and mature outside of that situation, they'll come back to you and be like, you know what, I'm glad that you cut me off, because you were actually my lifeline to whatever this habit or whatever this thing was, and I was spinning out of control, and it took me actually getting to a place where I hit rock bottom for me to realize that I was being abusive to people. So it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes that does happen.
Laura writes in, hi Rod and Karen, I snapped this at Sam's Club today and thought you might enjoy. I love the show and especially love the apple comparisons. My favorite is Macintosh, so if you have a chance to try a crunchy one, you might like.
Like the computer?
Yes. More importantly, thank you for such a wonderful show. The world is a better place with the two of you in it, and the wisdom and the points of view you share with us. Have a great day, Laura F. in Washington, D.C. And she sent a pic of apples at Sam's Club. I just love that people are so excited about all these apples.
We be getting all types of pics of apples, y'all.
It's just a picture. It's just a, I mean, y'all have, I'm not even gonna show y'all a picture. It's literally just imagine apples at the store. That's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we be.
But I like that she saw that and was like, Rod and Karen need to know about this.
Mm-hmm. And I found out there's apple juice made out of Granny Smith apples.
Yeah, I bought some. That's how you found out.
Okay.
Because sitting in the refrigerator right now.
Ooh, I need to drink some.
Magically. Yes. Alright, I did before we want to get out. Oh, what is happening? Why did it do this? I did before we get out of here, if this comes back up, wanted to read a little bit of This Bitch Got Roaches in Her Crib.
It's good, y'all.
Just a brief excerpt. For those who are trying to, you know, see if they should get down with this. Mm-hmm. It's only 99 cents on Amazon.
Yeah, and free if you got Prime.
Yeah, oh, it's This Hoe Got Roaches in Her Crib now.
Yeah, revamp right. For the name.
This is Fred Kreisha, our protagonist, yes. Or main character.
Yes.
This is our introduction to her. Fred Kreisha, 34, once a vixen back in her day, was now a tired-ass looking hoe who stood about 5'5 and weighed a solid 213 pounds. She thought she was around 175. But she hadn't been to her general family physician, Dr. Patrice, in a while. Her doctor was down the block at the Free Women's Health Clinic, but Fred Kreisha only made a visit when she had a bad yeast infection, STI, or when she get a long-lasting turbulent case of bacteria vaginosis. Known once for her small waist, Fred Kreischer was now in possession of a plump, undefined midriff. Remnants of what was once a thick ass now resembled two steroid-injected brown potatoes lumped together. A set of double D cup drooping titties hung from her chest. With no bra on, it was visible from the shirt covering her chest that she had both nipples pierced. The biggest black satin bonnet cap crowned Fred Kreischer's head. This morning, matching the slightly torn up black wife beater wrapped around her chest and torso, a big Celtic cross tattoo was etched onto her unshaven right arm. A spread of angel wings was tatted across her upper chest. Some faded blue denim Bermuda shorts she bought some years ago from the Rainbow Store, not too far away, tightly snugged her cellulite-ridden legs. Under the sour-smelling bonnet was seven cornrows braided into the ratchet mother skull. Yesterday, Maya's disability check, Fred Kreischer had the girl diagnosed with ADHD to get them Social Security federal government coins, came in the mail. And rather than use the funds towards good use like tutoring or after-school care, a bitch was about to go get her hair, nails, and feet done. That's just a little bit. That's like chapter one. That's just a little taste of what we're getting into, okay? I'm already at like chapter five, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm at the, what appears to be about to be a gangbang in the Roach Field. Horrible, horrible sounding apartment.
Yes, yes.
From two dope boys, so.
From two dope boys.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back, tomorrow. So until then, make sure you guys continue to tune into the show. Make sure you get tickets to go see us live in September.
Yes,
we'd love to see you all there.
We would.
We got some goodies that are gonna be given away to people. I've said too much. We have to go. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.